There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you along, and good to see my buddy Matthew Michaud back in studio with the Anchor Cross Foundation. Thanks
see,
for
Sean,
coming.
You were so good, such good friends with my brother, Matthew.
Okay, I keep doing that every time.
This mom does it,
I've
too.
Done,
it's
I've
okay.
done this every time. I'm also an old man, so yes, but sorry. Hey, Matt, I'm sorry.
Daniel Michaud. I'm with Anchor Cross Cancer Foundation. Sean and I go way back. He grew up down the street from me.
Yes,
so.
But you were just young back then. Now you're like grown people helping people in our community, Daniel. I'm proud of you, man.
Hey, thank you, Sean.
We've talked in the past about and what you do with Anchor Cross, and you do a good job of telling people a lot more quickly than I can. Anchor Cross, which is funded by people right here at home, that helps people here at home. What do you do for cancer folks? How are you helping them?
Really, there's two parts of our operations, but the main one being we distribute grants to patients and their families and their, you know, in that serious time of need. Most patients are out of work for 6 months, sometimes more, and they need a hand up. So that's, you know, we try to help with utility bills as much as possible, rent, mortgage, transportation, lodging, but it's been a wonderful thing to be a part of and see grow. And on top of that, we help navigate insurance issues.
This is the thing, too, that when you first told me about what y'all were doing, Daniel, with the navigation, you laid out a couple scenarios for me that made me go, oh, my gosh. And for people that are at the toughest time in their lives, decisions that have to be made right then couldn't have implications that go on years.
Right. I feel there's a serious lack of addressing the socioeconomic needs of the patient. When they're told they have cancer, everything shuts off.
Right.
You know, and they don't know where to start, especially if they're uninsured or going to be offered COBRA, which they can't afford without a paycheck. So
right.
It's a serious issue.
And there's the things you talked about before, it is unreal that if you say this versus that, or you check that, and not that you're saying anything that's untrue, but if you're trying to navigate this maze of documents here to get that health insurance and get taken care of, if you do the wrong thing,
it's devastating.
It's devastating.
Outside of open enrollment, it's really hard to get insurance, but we keep thinking marketplace insurance is going to go away, but they haven't changed a thing yet, and we need to embrace it, but they don't teach it in school. It's something you've got to learn one at a time, one case at a time. And
and you've got to have somebody like you. Y'all, I've watched Daniel working on this. I have no concept. When you first started telling me, you need to do this first and this second, I had no concept.
It's very complex. And really, we need more lay navigation in this community, and I hope we can achieve that.
Yeah, and that's what y'all are doing. So once again, I want y'all, we're going to talk about some specific events, but what's happening with Anchor Cross Foundation is just fantastic and helping folks right here at home. A chance coming up here to help out Anchor Cross. Also, Pilots for Christ. Pilots, you and I were talking about this the other day. Pilots for Christ, what is this?
They're unbelievable. They're based out of Monroeville, but they fly patients all over the Southeast. If someone needs to get to MD Anderson, they fly them for free. If a kid needs to go to St. Jude's, they're going to get them there. So they run purely on donations from the community, such as like Anchor Cross, but they get you where you need to be, and when you get home, Anchor Cross can assist with some financial needs.
Pretty amazing.
We've been able to partner all due to Jack West introducing us before he passed away.
Yeah, and of course that name familiar to so many, a friend of mine for a long, long time. And of course, when people think Judge Roy Beans, they think Jack West. And there's an event coming up to celebrate Jack's life and also help raise money for these great charities.
And Philip Calmette as well.
Philip Calmette. And so it's a this party, how is it? So is it just bringing back judges of old, the Judge Roy Beans of old? What are we doing, getting the band back together, getting the people back together?
You could say that, but this really started 2 years ago. We had our Judge Roy Bean blood drive that Jack West and Philip spearheaded, and I still get goosebumps thinking about it. 120 people donated. They were turning people away. LifeSelf, I don't think, has ever seen that kind of support. So, Daphne, we were able to do that the last 2 years and wanted to celebrate the lives of Jack and Philip, who unfortunately passed in the last 12 months. And there's not a better way to do it. And the way the community has come out in Daphne, in Fairhope, Eastern Shore, and Mobile, it's just been something to see. And we've already sold a lot of tickets online. A lot of shirts have already been reserved.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I saw that on the flyer. Not only, and we're talking about the event coming up tomorrow and what's happened. Let me point out, y'all, you want to take it back? You want to go in a time warp? Locust Fork Band is playing, which is another awesome. But not only you get to hear the music, hang out with the folks, authentic Bean memorabilia. You got shirts that have the right logo and everything. This is cool.
That we've got merchandise for sale, and on top of that, a silent auction that is going to be unbelievable. Mark Calmette, Phillip's brother, has been working extremely hard on getting rare posters from back in the day. Jimmy Buffett autographed one, John Prine as well.
Wow.
It's been wonderful to see these items come back to life, and they are, I think, going to be in high demand tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, the event from 3 to 9 tomorrow, and you said, with Daphne City Hall in the grounds?
Yes.
Like, lay that out for me. For a Mobile guy like me, when I picture, I mean, I know where City Hall is. Where's the...
Old Town Daphne. So we're going to barricade off the whole grounds. The inside will be used for the silent auction, and we'll have a stage set up outdoors. We were able to get an ABC license, and we'll be selling beer for $5. Budweiser's help there.
Good.
And United Johnson Brothers has helped us with the wine. So $5 for beer and wine, and $7 for mixed drinks. And from 3 to 9, we'll have live music as well as the silent auction, and merchandise available as well.
All right. So once again, y'all, think about this. It's Judge Roy Bean Reunion and Memorial Benefit, Day of Memory and Celebration for Jack West and Philip Calamity. And I mentioned the music side of it because I know I just raised some eyebrows with my age group and then our older siblings, because Locust Fork Band is going to be there, which is just classic. And then you got the Red Clay Strays with Robert Sully, Buzz Carpenter, Butler Sheldon, Ryan Balthrop, Molly Thomas. I mean, I know it seems cliche, but you got the band back together. You got some of the people that guys like me and gals my age grew up listening to.
I wish I could take all the credit, but a huge thanks to Terry Allen with the silent auction. Harry and JT of Mancy's and Callahan's have been unbelievable in helping put this thing on. We really had 2 months to prepare, and I've never seen an event come together this well.
So and I see this too, that we've got, not only we mentioned the drinks, but you got food as well. You're going to feed us out there? What do we got, sandwiches to buy?
We have 4 food trucks, authentic Bean sandwiches. The Dewdrop's going to be out there, as well as Southwood. And that Southwood is unbelievable. If you don't know, the chef used to work for Jesse's.
Oh, okay, yes.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so
but
food's
can't
good.
Can't beat the Dewdrop either. We're going to have a great variety.
Okay, and reminder, if people are just joining us, talking to Daniel Bichad, it is the Anchor Cross Foundation, but also benefiting the Pilots for Christ. And I'm seeing some people on the text line that actually have personal accounts of what Pilots for Christ have done.
They've touched so many lives.
And remind folks, too, Pilots for Christ, what they're doing for folks.
They will fly you for free when you need treatment, and you have no idea how you're getting there. Sometimes folks don't have family that can break away and spend 2 weeks in Houston.
The specialist might be in Houston or in Memphis or, you know,
absolutely. And getting your child to St. Jude's can be extremely difficult and taxing, and they're there for you.
Okay. And hearing this, too, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people want to show up. And a reminder, too, can they still get tickets ahead of time, or do they show up at the door?
We're still doing pre-sale.
Where do we go?
JudgeRoyBean.com or JRBReunion.com.
Okay.
There's also a Facebook page.
All right.
JRB Reunion.
And they can get the tickets there?
Yes.
And then, but if not, can they buy them tomorrow when they walk up?
At the gate.
Okay.
So it's $50.
Okay.
And that includes drink tickets and all of the live music for the day. And all the proceeds are going to be split between Anchor Cross and Pilots for Christ to support our missions.
All right, I want to say this, too. If somebody's already, you know, said, well, darn it, you know, I got to go to mother-in-law's or whatever tomorrow and I can't make it, but they want to donate to Anchor Cross, want to donate to Pilots for Christ, how do they do that?
Absolutely. You can go to either charity's website and do so, or you can donate on the Judge Roy Bean page. But to be specific, AnchorCrossFoundation.org and Pilots for Christ, they are www.pilotsforchrist.net.
Uh-huh.
So please check them out. Johnny and Rosalind have done some wonderful work, and they are the most successful branch of Pilots for Christ in the country.
All right. Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. That makes me proud. All right. I'm going to put the links up for this on our social media platforms. People can grab them there. You got any questions, you can drop an email to me, and I'll get you the information you need to be out there tomorrow.
Just real quick, we'd love to thank Gerber, Mellow Mushroom, Mancy's, White Spunner Realty, Daphne Utilities, Palmer's, Kindred Hospice, and Advanced Dental Comfort and Tonsmere Properties, some of our main sponsors.
Good folks coming together to make this happen.
Everybody's doing it. It's been unbelievable. It takes a village.
Well, it does, and it takes a pretty fun event, too. I mean, Daniel, there's the right reasons to do this, to help out the charities, but, I mean, you got to...
This is history.
It is history. It is history. You hear that, my older brothers? We're calling y'all history. Uh-huh. So they'll be out there recreating their 20s out in their older than 20s. I'll put it that way.
It's a reunion.
There you go. We won't say. There you go. It's reunion. We don't. It might be for some people.
In memory of two wonderful men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In memory of Jack West and Philip Calametti. Daniel, thanks for stopping by. Come back soon.
Sean, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. We'll put the links up on our Facebook page and my Twitter feed and get the information on the Judge Roy Bean reunion and memorial benefit happening tomorrow in Daphne.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And it is a Friday. It's been goofed up lately. We hadn't had a chance to do this and say it's Friday. That must mean it's time for 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. Back, y'all. Yes, all those stories I missed during the week, you get a recount of and a combination. He curates the list of the stories from the internet that I missed in a given week. Dalton Orwig in 6.5 Stories. Welcome. Good to get the band back together on
yes,
this.
Yes, yeah, and I'm in the old trusty chair here in the studio. Now, this has been a really interesting week for 6.5 Stories. And that's because there have been enough wildlife stories this week that I have made, for the first time ever, a very special wildlife edition of 6.5 Stories. It's kind of like Shark Week on Discovery Channel, except it's 20 minutes and no stories about sharks this week. But
Animal Planet edition of 6.5 Stories.
That's exactly right. And we kick it off in Texas. I mean, where else? If we're talking wildlife, that state, of course, knows a thing or two about deadly critters.
Yeah.
And late last month, May 27th, Milo and Jennifer Sutcliffe, they were doing some yard work outside their home in Corpus Christi. Now, I have a couple fun facts about Corpus Christi.
Okay.
Of course, the King Ranch is nearby. I'm sure you've seen the Ford pickup trucks with King Ranch on there. I know my dad visited King Ranch once before for a horse. I can't remember what he did. It was either a huge trail ride.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to go on the King Ranch.
I'm sure he had a great time. Also, Corpus Christi, the home of Lou Diamond Phillips, his childhood home. That's where he grew up. Of course, from the Young Guns. So I need to make it back out to Corpus Christi sometime.
Played Richie Valens.
But anyway, Milo Sutcliffe was working outside his home when he saw a rattlesnake he probably thought would make for a nice pair of snakeskin boots.
Right.
Grabbed a shovel, chopped the rattler's head off. But when he went down to inspect his kill, the snake's severed head bit Milo. Jennifer acted fast, drove her husband to the hospital after calling 911, but on the way, Milo started losing his vision and having seizures. The doctors gave Milo several doses of antivenom, but when those had no effect, they told Jennifer that Milo likely would not survive. Good news, though, Milo did survive. He's now in stable condition after receiving 26 doses of that magic potion that cures snake bites. The doctor said a normal person usually needs 2 to 4 doses of the antivenom, so 26 doses is a whole lot of antivenom.
Was he just particularly allergic to it or something?
They did not give a reason for why he needed so much, but I figured since I have a wildlife aficionado here in the room with me, I think I should throw it over to you, Sean, so you can explain to everyone why a snake can still murder a man when it's lost its body. Let's go to this theme song here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I feel like Marlon Perkins now.
Wild Kingdom.
That's right. I'm wearing a hat that has a one side pushed up here, and I'm wearing a safari-like clothing items.
Yes.
And a monocle. Why could the snake bite him after he cut the head off?
Yeah, why is that?
Well, first of all, you have the muscle are still working. I mean, you see that, I don't want to get too graphic, but when you're gigging frogs and what frog legs do, it still has, if the mouth was still open, it could absolutely close. And the venom is all kept in the head.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is...
Right there in the fangs.
Well, it's
right
not
above
actually,
the fangs.
Yeah, there's some ducts. There's some, I don't know what you call them. There's probably an actual word for it, but ducts, places where they keep the venom. It doesn't actually stay in the fang, the majority of it. But they can get... So that's all in the head.
Mm.
So the muscles that would close, I think, the head are still... I mean, you don't have everything because it's not attached to the breast of the snake, but there's enough muscles there... That went through. I still don't understand. I completely understand how a severed head from the rattlesnake could still close down on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I don't know why he has his hand in the...
Why does he pick it up?
But the thing I can't explain without... even while wearing full safari clothing like Marlon Perkins here, is why it takes 26... It really hit that guy hard.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe there's something wrong with their antivenom. That could also be a possibility. They had like a lower dosage or something like that.
They had like the diet antivenom or something like that. The
antivenom light.
It's like, I want the extra strength, please.
Yeah, so, very lucky that he survived.
But yeah, so y'all, if you get in a situation, you've cut the head off a rattlesnake and the mouth is open, don't put your hand under the fangs. It could still close on it and you will get injected with venom.
Yep, that's right. All right, next story here.
Right.
Heating up. We're getting real close to summertime, about 2 weeks out from the official start. And you know what that means, Sean? It means a lot of people are outside exploring. A lot of little pests are jumping on their bodies for a free lunch and a free ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the pest with the dirtiest sounding name, the tick. And some some researchers at the University of Wisconsin have about had it with those little... I'm going to say it. Lunatics. They've had it with them. And after centuries of human beings contracting Lyme disease and those other illnesses from ticks, researchers knew they needed to take, I'm going to do it again, drastic measures so that they can win the war against those little buggers. So the UW researchers developed a smartphone app to help users report and identify tick bites. It's called the Tick App. And you can download it right now, but be very, very careful how you type that in, everybody. The app asks users to log their contact with ticks, and the researchers are, of course, ecstatic. Did it again. They say the logs will help them learn more about where and when people encounter ticks so that they can develop a plan to fight back. The app also teaches users about tick safety and helps identify the different types of ticks. Once again, make sure you're using the correct app. This could all go really, really wrong for you. What I like best about the app is if you download it, of course, you have an extra excuse built in to grab a loved one or find someone so you can check each other
for ticks
and then log it into
the
app.
Yes.
And as most of us from the South know, that then becomes very, I'm going to do it one more time, erotic when you do that. So I'm done with the tick puns.
I'm going to be emphatic about that. and this is supposed to be the worst year ever for ticks.
I guess
summer.
Yeah. Lots of...
Tick-mageddon or something like that.
Tick-mageddon. Well, let's talk about something a little less dirty sounding than that. Peacocks. It turns out Spring Hill...
Let's go from ticks to peacocks.
Spring Hill, not the only place in North America with a peacock problem. Feral peacocks in Surrey, British Columbia, which, by the way, how Canadian is it that they named a town Surrey?
Yes.
It sounds so much like Surrey.
Yes.
Well, the feral Canadian peacocks of the Sullivan Heights neighborhood. Have you been there?
No, but it's probably... Listen, Lord knows the Sullivans are spread across the planet. You know, they're everywhere.
Well, the feral peacocks are in heat. and they're walking around town all cocky like, just ready to fight or fornicate.
Yes.
One problem with peacocks is much like your favorite dog, when peacocks see the reflection, they think there's another animal that just happens to look exactly like them, staring right back at them, ready to go at it. So the Sullivan Heights peacocks have been fighting people's cars in their driveways and causing thousands of dollars of damage, sometimes fighting the pea cars for hours at a time. One guy got so tired of the big birds, he chopped down a tree because they were using it as a nest. And because this is Canada, they fined him $1,000. Here's a couple more facts about peacocks. Did you know that peacocks are polygamous? And they form harems with up to 5 peahens.
Yes.
That's a peacock fact. Also, not totally unrelated to that fact, you call a group of peacocks a party. So
is that what it is? Because it's like a murder of crows, a flock of ducks. It is a party of peacocks.
Yeah, and there's another word for the family of peacocks, but a group of peacocks that are unrelated, that's a party. So
that's
peacocks
are polygamous. That's why
they do know how to party. Another new thing I learned this week: apparently, crawfish, the new hot dish in China. Chinese have gone from producing 265,000 tons of crawfish in the year 2007 to 852,000 tons last year. There's a video going around the internet, one of the very few videos that the Chinese government actually allows their citizens to watch.
Right.
It shows a huge pot of boiling crawfish with one little crawdaddy who somehow never made it completely into the pot. But he can't get his left pincher and his arm out of the boiling water. He's struggling and struggling, and he's trying to, it's like he's trying to pick up the heaviest dumbbell in the world.
Right.
If you watch the video, he eventually says, screw it, I don't need this claw anyway. Quick thinking crawdaddy takes his right claw and snap cuts his left arm above the pincher and then walks his way to safety. The chef who filmed the intense life or death situation knew that this crawfish was a true gangster after what he just witnessed.
Yeah.
Says he kept him alive and he's now raising him in an aquarium.
Wow. So he, like, remember the hiker that got stuck in the mountains out in, I think, in Nevada or Arizona? He had his
arm wedged. Yes, 127 hours.
Yeah.
And James Franco played
that role. And he took his knife and dismembered it. When does his arm?
Yeah, that's exactly what this crawfish did. Maybe they can make a movie about that, call it, like, I don't know, 20 seconds?
It's a full movie about a crawfish that escapes from a boiling pot of water.
That's right.
All right.
Crawfish news today.
All right. Crawfish in the news. This is good stuff. What is this?
This is Elvis. His fourth movie. Something about being on the bayou in New Orleans. The bayou just last night. There was no moon, but the stars were bright. Put a big long hook on a big long pole. And I pulled Mr. Crawfish out of his hole. Crawfish.
I just learned something. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I think we got a hit on our hands tomorrow with the Judge Roy Bean reunion and memorial benefit in memory of Jack West and Philip Calametti, because I just put it up on Twitter a second ago and I've been bombarded by folks going, you going? It's a reunion, putting the band back together. I don't know if I can make it or not, but if I can, I'll be there because, man, those were the days. All right. We are in the middle of 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. All those stories about animals that I missed in a given week. You have a themed 6.5 stories.
Yeah, we're doing the very special wildlife edition of 6.5 stories.
It's Animal Planet style with Dalton Orwig. So we've now talked to, we've had rattlesnakes in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
We've had crawfish in
ticks,
the mix.
Peacocks. Yeah.
What else is there?
There are no more animals.
That was all the animals, right?
That's the four. Actually, something we were discussing last hour, alligators, very close cousin of those. Well, I don't even know if they'd be cousins. I mean, basically the same species. We're talking crocodiles.
Well, they're cousins. They're not the same species.
Okay.
Crocodiles are different.
Well, I figured what would a 6.5 stories wildlife edition be without the home of Steve Irwin? Of course, RIP, Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
But Australia. We had to get Australia in the mix. Unfortunately, this one, bit of a sad story, but at least we can say the victim died doing what he loved in this next story.
Really?
A terrier dog named Pippa had lived at least 10 years at Goat Island Lodge in the Northern Territory of Australia.
Great.
It's smack dab in the middle of the Adelaide River.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Nice.
Goat Island had become a bit of a hot spot in Australia for tourists seeking to see some of the Australian wildlife up close and personal. A man named Kai Hansen lives there on Goat Island.
Uh-huh.
He had a dog named Hot Dog that was famous for barking along to harmonica tunes. That's what...
Where's the story going?
That's what Hot Dog was good at. But Pippa? No, Pippa was special. A lot more special than Hot Dog. She gained a legion of fans for fearlessly taunting Casey the Crocodile every time that son of a gun popped his head out of the water there at the Goat Island Lodge.
Wow.
For 10 years, the little terrier would run right at the massive croc, chasing it back into the river. People couldn't believe it. Casey the Croc would turn tail when Pippa the Pipsqueak would run at it. Until recently, when Pippa ran right at Casey the Croc, and Casey the Croc opened his mouth and then closed his mouth. And then opened his mouth and then closed it a couple... Yeah,
crunch,
you get the drift, yeah.
Like a potato chip.
Pippa's owner, Kai, is upset at the loss of his dog, but he says, quote, "It was something that had a high probability of happening sometime."
Right.
So next time
so you drink a So he's at peace with the fact that Pippa...
Yeah.
For 10 years... I mean, you make 10 years of barking at a croc and not getting eaten, you've done quite well.
And, of course, he's getting torn up on the internet. They're like, why are you letting your dog run after the crocodile? Why didn't you teach it not to or keep it on a leash? And he said, hey, it's what... I mean, I could have tried, but it's what Pippa loved to do. Pippa loved running at the croc. And he said, I thought it would happen sometime, but a lot of people want the croc
to be... Did this guy live on the... And this is not Goat Island that's in the bay, y'all. It's a different Goat Island. It's in Australia.
Yeah.
Did he live on this island?
Yeah, I guess he moved there 15 years ago to get away from, you know, the big cities in Australia.
So he's living there, kind of like a back-to-the-earth existence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say this because on pets, like, I do this. I am guilty of this. I know of what I'm guilty, and the pets we have now, they don't get the free... And we live in the city. They don't get the free range. You're worried about them getting into things. But also, I mean, I'm the first generation off the farm, and dogs back on the farm, my grandparents loved their dogs dearly, but they were work animals. And if, you know, they fed them and took care of, if they needed to go to the vet, they'd take them to the vet, but they're work animals. And if the dog happened to get, you know, gored by a bull or trampled or something like that, it was bad, and you tried to help the dog, but that was part of its job. We have changed our attitudes really a lot on pets, where we've made them, and a lot of them need to be like humans because they're not fit for the outside world
right.
at all.
Well, like my
little dogs too. Listen, they're not fit for, but there are a lot of dogs like that dog that maybe you can't, I mean, at a certain point, you know, I mean, if you're throwing it out in the water in front of the croc, it's one thing. But if he lives, I don't know.
Then it's a whole other story when Pippa's making you money because she's gathering crowds for running at the... I mean, it was her day job, basically.
Yeah.
So she was making... Yeah, like my Boston Terrier, who has lived in Mobile his entire life. I mean, he's a right. city boy. He's,
right.
He's an indoor dog, too, which right. nobody in my family has indoor dogs. I was the first to break
right.
that mold. We take him to take him up to my home in Clark County.
Yeah.
And we have some horses out in the pasture. Wouldn't you know it, the first thing he does when I let him out of the car that first time, runs right to the horses, and I'm like, oh no, he's going to catch a hoof, and that'll be the end of Murphy the Boston Terrier. But it's in his nature. Can't fight it. That's what they do.
Well, but also, you know, it's they're better, not in all cases, but my little dog's probably not, but like my German Short here, she spends time in amongst cattle and horses. We have rescue horses we keep, and from early on, I said she can go behind them and get kicked, or she's going to get stepped on by the horses. Never. She's agile enough, and somehow innately realizes that danger. But she's still going to go over there and bark at them and run under the fence and then run back. You know, there's a certain point. I mean, you got to protect it. I'm not saying free range, because Lord knows I hate when I see people's dogs are just free range. You got to take care of them. At a certain point, a dog's going
to
be a dog.
Yeah, Kai, the owner, he compared it to dogs running at cars. He's like, you know, that's just what they're going to do. So next time you drink a Foster's, pour a little out for Pippa.
Absolutely.
Keep Pippa in mind. So now we travel to the far east side of Australia.
Okay.
We're in Logan City, Queensland. A 51-year-old woman was arrested on Monday night for HUI. That's horsing under the influence. And it's not the actual name of the charge. That's what it should be. I mean, we should start calling it HUIs. The woman rode a horse to the Logan Central Tavern. And because this is Australia, they do have drive-through liquor windows. That's where she went. She clopped through the drive-thru. Oh,
that's fantastic.
And she appeared to be heavily intoxicated.
Not that she was, but the fact that she went up to a drive-thru window on a horse.
On a horse.
To order some more booze.
Employees called the cops because either the woman or her horse refused to leave the premises. They weren't very clear on that. The police arrested her for riding a horse whilst wasted. Also not what they actually wrote in the report. When she took the how drunk are you test back at the station.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, they call it the how drunk are you test. Her blood alcohol content tested at an 0.. Let's get a drum roll here. 226.
Whoa.
Yeah, 0.226 on horseback. The Aussie police said they wanted to remind fellow Aussies that drink driving is not just for motor vehicles. It does also include horses.
Well, at that kind of alcohol level, too, she probably sweated out enough into that horse that the horse was probably impaired as well.
Yeah, for sure. The horse was probably sweating out her booze that she'd been drinking. And so who knows? Maybe she was giving the horse some.
Yeah, riding under the influence. I mean, they get people for bicycles riding under the influence, I guess. Although I'm impressed if somebody could go it faster than a canter on a horse and be drunk and just keep with it. That's impressive.
I'd also like to know what kind of saddle she was on. Because if she's on one of those, you know, fancy saddles that you can basically fall asleep in and stay in, then that's one thing. But if she was, like, riding it bareback or
steeplechase
one of those,
saddle, like a little steeplechase, that'd be
something. That's really impressive at 0.226 once she took the how drunk are you test. So now for story 6.5, where I give you half to most of the story, sometimes 99% of the story I'll give you, and you try to fill in the rest. This story comes from Bulgaria, a country in Europe that seems to be trying its hardest to get with modern times, but still has some really, really stupid laws on the book. Panka, the pregnant cow, belongs to a man named Ivan. And by the way, every man in Bulgaria is either named Ivan, Alexander, or Georgie. I looked that up.
That's the three names that are allowed in Bulgaria.
Those are the three only names for men and women in Bulgaria. Anyway, Panka got away from Ivan and walked across the border into Serbia without a single border guard noticing.
Well, your papers, cow.
Show me your papers. A Serbian farmer found Panka and returned her back to Ivan of Bulgaria. So for 6.5 stories, do you think Ivan and Panka will be punished? Or do you think that everything's totally fine and that's the end of the story and nothing else is going to happen?
So the two countries involved, Bulgaria and Serbia.
That's correct.
The cow for sure is being sent to a re-education farm. And Ivan is going to be probably poisoned with plutonium.
That is a great guess. Customs officers, they told Ivan he must have Panka inspected by a doctor. They said doctor, which I think veterinarians and doctors are the same thing
in Bulgaria.
And even though Panka's bill of health came back clean, well, she was still sentenced to death by gunshot by Bulgarian authorities. That's the law in Bulgaria.
For what?
Well, when livestock leave the European Union, and also probably when humans leave the EU, they
nice arbitrary rule. Like it walks across an imaginary line created by human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And because Panka left the EU, because it's on the border there, went into Serbia, her sentence was death, and not just like, you know, poisoner or whatever they do to put cows down.
They shoot them. They put them into it. Okay. Yeah, with the hydraulic.
Well, that was her. Let's go into more detail.
Yeah.
I guess they really want to send a message with this one. Panka may still have a chance, though. They started a change.org petition calling on the EU to make an exception for Panka. It's already collected more than 15,500 signatures.
There you go. 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. I learned a lot there, man.
Lots of wildlife.
Learned a lot. Hey, by the way, keep up with us on our Facebook page. The Summer Better Than Others contest starts next week in earnest. Get the details there. And the Love Your Vote in the Nappies, votenappies.com. All right, come back. Richard Taylor from Taylor Martino joins us right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, and joined by senior partner at Taylor Martino and a man I've known quite a long time, Richard Taylor. Thanks for being in here.
Well, glad to be here, Sean. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. We're just catching up on stories from days gone by, and that's kind of what I want to get into as well. The practice of law and story of days gone by. I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but you've been doing this for more than a year.
Yes, I have.
And, you've been practicing law for since there weren't so many laws back when you started, actually.
Well, there's plenty of laws, but they've changed a little bit. But yeah, I hung my shingle out in downtown Mobile a little over 30 years ago.
And wow.
In the same block, and I'm still in the same block, about four blocks from the courthouse.
So what have you seen? I mean, I'm sure we could sit down and write a book here about what you've seen changes in the legal practice.
Yeah, it has changed. When I started practicing 30 years ago, you know, we didn't have every billboard was a law firm.
Right.
When you watch TV, you know, every ad that comes on are lawyers, and what that has generated or produced is clients or people who need lawyers are being, you know, ran through like cattle through these advertising law offices. And, you know, what I've learned is that a lot of these folks that go see advertising lawyers, they'd never meet a lawyer, never see one, never sit down with them.
That's news to people. And I've learned this from you over time. When you talk about the cattle operation here, I didn't realize this till you told me that, I mean, people come in and they're almost just processed. They're just coming in there. Nobody's really taking a look at that case.
Right. Well, I mean, an investigator goes out and signs it up. They bring them a contract. They order the medical records. And it comes down to basically quantity, not quality.
Right.
And, you know, whenever I started practicing law, and still today in my law office downtown, Taylor Martino, it's quality representation. You know, when a client comes in to meet with us, I tell them to bring their family, even bring their children. So I sit down with them, and I get to know them. Where do you work? You know, how long y'all been married? How many kids you got? Where do you live? What do you enjoy doing?
You
get to know them. And because you can't represent somebody you don't know, in my opinion. And that's kind of not the way it is anymore. You know, like I say, a lot of clients and people never meet their lawyer. Or meet them when they pick up a check or something. At our office, it's quality. We spend time with our people, with the people we represent.
And, you know, listening to you, and I can't wait to hear your take on it, because talking to Ed and Ben in the past here, talked about that hour and a half, you know, at least that they're meeting with a new client. And they hear something when they're talking to the client, whether they're talking, meeting the family, the whole nine yards. Y'all hear things that we don't know are pertinent to a case. We're just talking to you, telling you about us. And you hear something that's so very important to our case.
Yeah, I mean, you sit down and somebody comes in and they're injured, and he's the breadwinner of the family. And, you know, you ask them, you know, how's this affected the family economically, but also, what did you enjoy doing with your children?
Right.
You know, what can you not do now that you could do before? And that would be important to a jury. Whenever you go to try the case, you know, folks on a jury want to know, well, how has this affected not only the injured person or the breadwinner, but the entire family? And the only way to know that is to sit down with the family and get to know them and talk to them and represent them in a quality fashion.
That's the thing that would scare me, what you're talking about, the way it's practiced with a lot of attorneys now. You would never have a chance to have that interaction to ever find out that thing that could be so important in court.
That's true, and that's how the practice of the law has changed, is that, I don't want to call it the old-fashioned way, but I think about the old Atticus Finch, you know?
Yeah.
Small-town lawyer, you know, everybody, you know, they come in, you get to know them, you get to know who their family is, but the advertising lawyers are friends of mine.
Right.
I mean, they're just making a living and putting shoes on their children's feet, you know, like every other lawyer.
But it's, you're saying they do it a different...
It's just a different style.
Okay, but I'm going to throw this in, because you and I have known each other a long time on this. For normal human beings, once, twice, maybe three times in a lifetime, we're going to need services of a firm like Taylor Martino. Having something that's a lawsuit is not everyday practice for us. So even though it's everyday practice for those other attorneys, this is the biggest situation ever in our life, the most critical situation, this injury that has changed our life. That's something I don't want to skimp on.
Well, and unfortunately, the kind of law that we do is, and me personally, I do, you know, catastrophic, very serious injury, and then unfortunately a lot of death cases.
Yeah.
And when folks come to me, you know, they're usually at sometimes the lowest point of their life.
Sure.
And, you know, and they look at you, and you accept a lot of responsibility. I mean, the breadwinner's dead, or the breadwinner's in a wheelchair for life, paralyzed, and they look at you going, what are you going to do for me? And it's a lot of responsibility. And, yeah, you know, so when folks come to me, it's not a good thing, but
We're not coming to you on a great day. We're not coming to you for a great reason. You got us at our toughest time where we need the help.
And a lot of the clients that come to me, first thing they say is, I've never hired a lawyer before, and I don't like lawsuits, and I don't like my insurance premiums going up, and I hear all of that.
I'm kind of like that person, Richard.
A lot of people are, and most of my friends are like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I am that person. Yeah.
I don't like lawyers, but I like my lawyer.
I don't like lawyers,
but when I need a lawyer, I want a lawyer.
Well, that's
okay. And so but we're here when we're needed. You know, I have a lot of people call me and say, I want to file a lawsuit for such and such. I was going, well, I really don't think you do. I think you just work it out with the insurance company. You know, you've got a minor injury. If you hire me, I'm going to get a third of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you work it out with them, you keep it all. Whereas the lawyers take their third. And I say, no, you don't. And a lot of times I get a lot of calls about hospitals and doctors. It's unbelievable. Probably two a week. And I want to sue because of this. No, you don't either. You don't want to sue a doctor, and you don't want to sue a hospital.
This will cost
hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you're probably going to lose. And so no telling how many people I have convinced not to go after doctors and hospitals because, you know, bad things happen in hospitals, but that's because you're there because you're hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, a lot of times I discourage litigation because it's expensive, it's time consuming, it takes a lot of emotions.
Sure.
But a lot of lawyers will take the case. You know, it's a last resort.
I appreciate that, and I think a lot of people do, because then when you give somebody the opinion that you do, in fact, have a real case here, it resonates.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I take a case, you got a serious injury and you need a lawyer. And a lot of times I'll tell people, look, work it out with the insurance adjuster. If it doesn't work, then you come see me. A lot of times they'll say, I was just in an accident. I say, well, if you're not permanently injured, you probably don't need a lawyer. So you keep treating with your doctor. And if the doctor says you got a permanent injury for your rest of your life, now you need me. I guess I'm somewhat selective on the cases I take. And Ben and Ed, you know, they may take, you know, a case if you're not permanently injured. But this point in my career and my age, you know, I have fewer cases. But
well, you have some serious cases.
Serious cases, yes.
Well, if somebody's in that situation listening to us right now, wants to reach out and talk to you, talk about how we do that, make that phone call.
Get online and Google Taylor Martino.
Right.
Or just call us at our office, downtown Mobile, 251-433-3131, or just come knock on my door.
There we go. Richard Taylor, Senior Managing Partner at Taylor Martino, thank you for being here with us today.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.